How many people can you think of who could be called singer-songwriters? Quite a few, I guess. Billy Joel, Elton John, Paul Simon does both. But how many before, say, 1949? Back in those days, there were pop singers and there were songwriters, and the two arts almost never overlapped until Hoagy Carmichael came along.
Sleepy time gal, you're turning night into day.
It's not that he invented the concept of the singer-songwriter. There were a few before him.
The late Richard Sutholter was Carmichael's biographer. He was interviewed in 2002.
But the concept of the singer who wrote his own songs and then delivered them in his own style, accompanying himself, it really begins with Carmichael. The idea that he could sit at the piano and in a voice which was the farthest thing from a trained baritone,
sometimes I wonder,
sing and put across his own material.
The lonely night, dreaming of a song, the melody.
And nobody sings it better.
Haunts my reverie.
Hoagy Carmichael was an Indiana boy, born just before the turn of the 20th century. His father was an itinerant laborer, his mother a piano player who loved ragtime. "Ragtime was my lullaby," Carmichael is supposed to have said. Under the influence of cornetist Bix Beiderbecke, Hoagy fell in love with music and ditched his law career for the musician's life.
Hoagy came of age in the middle of what we now very glibly call the jazz age. That is, hot music was in the air, bursting around, and you had talents emerging of the likes of Louis Armstrong, of Sidney Bechet, of Bix, reaching for and shaping, making it up as they went, a new form of music. Hoagy was caught up in that.
So when he began to write songs, they were songs heavily influenced by Carmichael's own experience as a jazz player, with improvisations kind of written into the music. His songs differed from the classically constructed show tunes of the time.
They're more rambly, they have an element of jazz in them.
Cabaret singer Mary Claire Herron sings Carmichael on stage and on recording. She doesn't play around much with the songs.
Skylark, you can't really. That melody is so hard to follow anyway, for me. I always have trouble singing that song. Night strange as a willow moon, was crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, Skylark. That's hard.
There's a flavor to it. There's a real flavor to the music.
Pianist Bill Charlap made a CD of all Carmichael songs called Stardust.
There's a feeling of his music. It's very conversational. It's very direct. It's not lofty. It is, but it doesn't flash its credentials at all.
And there are so many songs, it was hard to choose.
If you're going to do an album of Hoagy's music and this is your record of his music, you sort of must do Georgia and Stardust and Skylark. And well, I didn't do Lazy River, but that fits that club as well.
So Hoagy Carmichael kept writing songs and singing them in that non-urban, jazz-influenced style musicians seem to cherish. And then he went to Hollywood. And by the sheer force of his distinctive persona, he began to play himself, in a way, or part of himself, in the movies.
What is that you're playing?
Did you say something?
He played wise Midwestern philosophers with names like Butch and Cricket, always a good friend to someone, always at the piano.
Well, it was nice while it lasted.
Dispensing good advice.
Maybe it's better this way, Slim.
I don't know.
You haven't known him very long. He's a funny guy.
He studied and created a character out of all the Indiana traditions that he'd known. So when you see this guy, Cricket, in the film, To Have and Have Not, talking very chummily with Lauren Bacall, you know, and everything is very wise and worldly, that's a creation. And he did beautifully at it.
I run to the telephone.
But the hallmark of everything he did was a deceptive effortlessness. His movie performances looked spontaneous, his songs direct and unforced, his singing modest and almost thrown away. Deceptive is the word.
He was a very hard, almost compulsive worker. You can see it in early band photos. I'm thinking of one in particular where all the musicians are leaning against the piano and in various positions of relaxation in a recording studio. And here, sitting on the piano bench, very solemn, staring at the camera, is Hoagy Carmichael, as if to say, hey, guys, this isn't fun. This is really serious.
And somehow, he sensed it would be ruinous if anybody knew how hard he worked.
His sons, both of them, remember him closeting himself in his room with his upright piano, never a grand, always an upright piano. And if the door to his music room was closed, you didn't go in. And the face that he would show to the public was that of the aw shucks kind of guy, for whom life was just one big, to use the title of one of his songs, jubilee.
Now jubilee, come and join the jubilee.
The contradiction, the ease, and the work is at the heart of what makes Carmichael so appealing to musicians.
Well, that's the big trick. I mean, that Fred Astaire is the same legacy. They never let it, they sweat it, but it was always behind closed doors. Or, and Astaire, you know, he's, no one worked harder than he, and look at his legacy. That's what's so beautiful. It's so fresh. It's so natural.
It's that monumental understatement.
In Hoagy, you know, a few lines, it's enough. Or like Jimmy Rolls, I heard him say once, if you have an idea, play half of it. It's almost like the audience completes the idea in their own way.
Carmichael said, you don't write melodies. They lie there on the keys waiting for you to find them. They've always been there. If you find the beginning of a good song and if your fingers do not stray, the melody should come out of hiding in a short time. If only it were really that easy.
Chained to my old rocking chair.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.